From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled Praise and Prayer, the fifth in a series of studies in the book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled The Magnitude of Grace. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Our weakness should be prized as making room for divine strength. We might never have known the power of grace if we had not felt the weakness of nature. Blessed be the Lord for the thorn in the flesh and the messenger of Satan when they drive us to the strength of God. This is a precious word from our Lord's own lip. It has made the writer laugh for joy. God's grace enough for me. I should think it is. Is not the sky enough for the bird and the ocean enough for the fish? The all-sufficient is sufficient for my largest want. He who is sufficient for earth and heaven is certainly able to meet the case of one poor worm like me. Let us then fall back upon our God and his grace. If he does not remove our grief, he will enable us to bear it. His strength shall be poured into us till the worm shall thresh the mountains, and a nothing shall be victor over all the high and mighty ones. It is better for us to have God's strength than our own. For if we were 1,000 times as strong as we are, it would amount to nothing in the face of the enemy. And if we could be weaker than we are, which is scarcely possible, yet we could do all things through Christ.
His love and her control.
Soon it will be that season of the year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. As he concludes his fifth message in this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is dealing with verses 12 through 25 of chapter 1, verses which emphasize the importance for the early church of the days between Christ's ascension and the day of Pentecost. It was marked by much praise, for the disciples had seen the risen Christ, had witnessed his ascension to heaven, had been given the promise of the Holy Ghost and of the Savior's second coming. And this interim period was also marked by much prayer. As was true in those early days, prayer is still the secret of power for the Church of Jesus Christ. This period was also a time of preparation, marked by the election of another apostle to take the place of Judas. The Church still needs to be on guard against apostates within its ranks. The passage concludes with a message of witness, emphasizing Matthias's faithfulness in the past, which fitted him for future service. Now to conclude this message, praise and prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
My friend, there was an apostate even in the original 12. There were apostates who made their way into the early church, and there are apostates today. There are false prophets today, to the law and to the testimony. If men are not preaching according to this word, then I'm against them. And I'll brand them and I'll battle with them in the name of the Lord. Peter was warning first the existence of the apostate. He warned them regarding the efforts of an apostate among God's people. What was this man doing? He was the guide to them that took Jesus. He was the one who sold the cause of Christ for personal gain and filthy lucre. Do I need to labor the point today in emphasizing that those same efforts are being made? That while the devil could not conquer the church of Christ from the outside, he has insidiously placed his emissaries on the inside who are selling out the cause of Jesus Christ? Isn't it true? Then there's the warning of the end of an apostate, one of the saddest things in the New Testament. We read in verse 25, he fell. Now, he didn't fall from grace, for he never had grace. He wasn't a saved man who fell and lost his salvation, for he never was saved. Jesus said he was a devil. He fell from his office. He had an outward appointment. He fell from that. We read verse 18 that he purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, or with the wages of unrighteousness. He purchased a field and he fell headlong. And just let me say quickly here, there is no contradiction with Matthew 27. Matthew 27 tells us that he came and he threw the 30 pieces of silver down on the table of the high priests, and they purchased the field. And he went out and hanged himself. Here we read, he purchased a field and fell headlong. Matthew tells us that because it was the blood money that bought the purchase there, it was called the field of blood. Here we are told it was because he dashed his bowels out in it and scattered his blood upon it that it was called the field of blood. I think the key to the thing, and we need to be very careful in studying God's word. The key to the thing is that the both chapters say the same truth, but they give a different view. The word field in the English is exactly the same, but there are two different words used. The word in Acts chapter 1 is that Judas bought a lot. That's what he bought, a lot. I don't mean a lot of fields, I mean just what I would call a site, what you folk call a lot. Something like you would have to put a house on. The word that Matthew uses is a word that also has the meaning of farm, which is certainly much bigger than what we have described in Acts chapter 1. And I think you can see what's happening here. I see no difficulty at all. This man throws down his money, the 30 pieces of silver. Now, those 30 pieces of silver are not mentioned in Acts chapter 1. It is just the wages of unrighteousness. This man, we read, was a thief, Right through the days he was following Christ, he was a thief. He had gained much by the way of the wages of unrighteousness. And here we read that out of those wages, out of the things that he had saved and stolen, he bought a lot. And he went out to that lot. Now Matthew says he hanged himself, and I believe he hanged himself. But significantly we are told that he fell headlong. And it wasn't just a little fall, it was something to burst the body open. Now remember that Jesus said, one of you is a devil. And when I see him falling headlong, I see what the devil always does to a person that he gets possession of. Always. The devil takes a person and he tears him and he rends him and he flings him and he breaks him. And here we find the devil, the taskmaster. Here we find Satan paying this man his true wages. Even in the hour of death he has no peace. When he would hang himself, devil that he was, demon-possessed that he is smashed and broken. Now the high priests, the priests come along, they have their 30 pieces of silver. What do? I believe they buy around that lot. They buy in the potter's field. And the whole thing takes the name from the little lot where Judas spilt his blood. I believe the Holy Spirit never makes mistakes. And certainly there's no irreconcilable difference. But we leave Judas with this. He not only died, but he went to his own place. He didn't go to be with Christ. No word from the Savior for him as there was for the dying thief. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He went to his own place. He went to the place where a devil would go. He went to hell. What a sad and tragic end. When I see apostates blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus, when I hear them curse the things of God, I realize that the end of them is destruction. I look across this meeting this morning and I think of men and women and young people who don't have Christ. You'll die too one day. I want to tell you, if you sell out to the devil, he'll break you mentally, physically, spiritually, and eternally. If you're sold to the service of Satan, I want to tell you this. Death will not be the end, but just as Judas, you'll go to your own place. Let me ask you, what is your eternal destination? Heaven or hell for all eternity? It's a message of warning. And of course, there's a message of witness. Matthias was elected as an apostle. Well, you see the credentials of an apostle. Preeminently, he had to be a witness of the resurrection. But to be one of the 12, he had to have accompanied with Christ from the baptism of John. That's why when you come across some of these sects that have apostles in their midst, you may know that they're not of God. Because there are no apostles nowadays. I don't think even the oldest one here is quite that old that you could have been around at the time of the baptism of John and followed Christ and seen his resurrection. Those are the credentials of an apostle. And then you will notice the character of Matthias. His stability. He followed all the time. John 6 we read of others who said this is a hard saying. And they fell away. He went on. Stability. You'll see his testimony that he had the confidence of God's people. When I read of that, I thought how long a man may go on with God. How long a man may really serve the Lord and never be known to the majority of Christians. It's not fame that counts. It's not a prominent or preeminent place that matters. Give me a Matthias any day. A man that will go on going on with a good testimony until the Lord gives him another job to do. His ministry, his past ministry, commended him for fuller service. I have no time for people going out as pastors who have not left their mark in the church where they were members. I am glad that I never have asked a congregation to do anything in the service of Jesus Christ that I didn't do as a member of the little church back in Mount Marion in the outskirts of the city of Belfast. I'm glad when I ask people to knock doors that when our pastor was studying and praying and laboring and trying to win souls, I was around knocking doors. And I was witnessing to Protestants, Roman Catholics, believers and infidels alike. I'm glad that when I ask people to come to a late night of prayer, I never missed a late night of prayer that was called in our church. When I ask people to come to a day of prayer, I never missed a day of prayer when I was a member of the church. I'm glad that I never asked a member of this church to do as a member what I refused to do as a member. I believe that past ministry equips and commends for further and fuller service. I know of people who have gone out to the mission field. And I have no doubt as to their success there because I have seen them work in the home church. And there are others of them, and they have gone out, and I have absolutely no confidence in their calling of God. I'm not going to judge it finally, but I have no confidence in it. Because they could come and go from their own church and nobody would even know they'd gone. They were missed so little. Not so with Matthias. He was a faithful witness to Jesus Christ. When I finished studying this chapter, my heart was blessed with one final thought, the choice of Matthias. He was not only the people's choice, but he was God's choice. Peter said, "Show whether of these two thou hast chosen." Every elder in the church, every minister in the church should not only be the people's choice, but the Lord's choice. And I thought of this. When the Lord chooses a man of God to take the place of an apostate, when God starts replacing the apostates of America with men of God, my, that is the harbinger of blessing. And it's the proof of good things soon to come. I believe that when God sends a Matthias, he's saying, blessing is on the way. It wasn't long until Pentecost broke. May the Lord keep us waiting. This section has been dealing with waiting for the promise. The promise has been given. Let's wait till it's fulfilled. And may the Lord speed the day when that fulfillment will surely come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word to every heart. Lord, we pray that thou wilt speak to saint and sinner alike. Remember those who are not saved, and grant that this very day thou wilt save them. Remember those who are saved. O God, we are aware of the attack of the devil. We are aware, Lord, of the existence of apostasy, the wickedness of this great sin in Christendom. Lord, make us willing to battle and separate unto the Lord. We pray that thou wilt make us a praying people, a holy people, a people who, like those early Christians, will obtain God's promise and enter into the fullness of God's blessing. Visit us, Lord, with revival. Part us now with thy blessing, that blessing of God which maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, both this day and until the Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.